Hi, everyone. Welcome again to English Digest. This is Bill.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we are going to take a look at a science unit, and it's all about the subconscious.
Mm.
It's all in your head.
It is?
Yeah, it is, Stephanie. It's all in your head. See, the thing is, you want to give Bill $1 million, you can convince people to do things you want to give Bill $1 million without even knowing it, them knowing it.
Can I give you $1 million?
I don't know. I would be happy.
I just have this feeling, you know, that I just have to give you some money.
I think that that would be wonderful. You should give me $1 million and buy Bill a boat. And then maybe I can do good things for people around the world. Boy, I'd love to spend time on the ocean, too.
Oh, Bill, I have some more money. Can I buy you a boat?
That would be great. Okay, this is all just a big joke. The idea is that maybe your subconscious, this part of your brain that kind of operates below your conscious brain, the part you actively use, can be affected by what's around you without you even realizing it. Kind of like what we were just joking around about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I said, give Bill $1 million really quietly and quickly in the middle of a sentence. And, you know, you heard what I was saying in the sentence and those other words, you know, the quieter words, the fast ones, they still were going into your brain and they can have an effect. That's what this story is going to be all about here in this science unit. So before we start things off, we need to read the article for our students, of course. Stephanie, you should do it. So, Stephanie, do you want to read the article,
Bill,
or should I?
Bill, I want to read the article.
Excellent.
Walking down the street, you suddenly want some McDonald's French fries. Why? Could it be the giant golden arches that you just passed? Or the smell of fry oil floating through the air? Strangely, either of those might cause your subconscious to make the decision to stop in and grab a snack. Some new studies show just how powerful our subconscious can be. It turns out that even a simple cup of coffee can affect your opinion of someone. In a study, unaware that the experiment had already begun, participants came across a lab assistant in the hallway. The lab assistant was carrying many documents and asked the participant to hold his coffee for a moment. Some participants held hot coffee while others held iced coffee. Later, participants read about a fictional person and were asked to rate that person's character. Compared with the hot coffee group, those who held the iced coffee rated the character as being colder and more selfish. Their reactions seemed to have been affected by the temperature of the coffee.
Okay, so the subconscious, it's all in your head. It's a great phrase because often you'll hear people say, it's just in your head. It's not real. And that phrase means that whatever it is you're thinking or saying, it's not actually taking place. It's not real. It's just something in your mind that's kind of fooling you or tricking you.
Did your mom ever say that to you when you'd pretend to be sick? You didn't want to go to school and your mom would say, oh, it's all in your head.
Of course. And what she meant was, you know, you don't want to go to school. So your body is pretending to be sick. Your brain is. And it's even fooling yourself. Now, the thing is, it sounds crazy. And you know, a lot of kids, they should answer, okay, you're right, it's all in my head because I'm doing this on purpose to trick you so I can stay home.
Oh, no.
You never did that?
No, I kept the act up. I kept pretending.
Ah,
I was very sick.
That's great. The point is, getting back to the subconscious, if it is all in your head, then it's like something is controlling your actions and it's coming from inside your own head. Don't know what it is. That's the subconscious. Well, let's get into this story, and we'll introduce this idea by giving an example.
Mm-hmm. So pretend you're walking down the street, and suddenly, oh, wow, you want some McDonald's French fries. That's happened to me before. Why? Well, could it be the giant golden arches that you just passed? or the smell of fry oil floating through the air. Well, these are two things that might trigger this feeling that you need some French fries. Just seeing the giant golden arches. You know what golden arches are, right? McDonald's has a symbol, a logo they use. It's a big M. And we say it's the golden arches. Golden is a yellow color, and an arch is a curved shape. It's rounded in the middle. It looks like half an M, but McDonald's uses the big M to symbolize their restaurant. Sometimes just seeing the golden arches will make you really crave some tasty French fries.
That's true, and there's a lot of reasons that this happens, and they're all kind of tied together. So you see the giant golden arches, and maybe you smell the fry oil floating through the air. And if it's floating through the air, it's just kind of moving smoothly up mm-hmm. and down. To float literally has this idea that you are sitting on some surface because there's something that makes you lighter than the thing that's holding you up. Often we use the word when we're talking about a boat or ship floating on the water. But you can also talk about like a feather floating in the air or a balloon floating in the air. Because even though it could fall to the ground, there's something happening that kind of keeps it smoothly floating in the air. Here it's the smell of fry oil, the oil that they make French fries in. Now, all of these things can come together and actually cause your subconscious to make the decision to stop into McDonald's and grab a snack.
You know, there is a place that's close to a family I teach on Saturday where they make Italian food. And there's all this smell of spaghetti sauce and garlic coming out. Oh, man, every time I pass by, I think, I have to get Italian food today.
You know what's kind of cool, though, is that if you think about how this works, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about what smells are and what tastes are and what things taste good and what things smell good. They usually tend to be sweet smells or
like donuts,
jams, anything connected to sugar, and also things that are connected to fats.
Yeah.
Right. Well, those are the two things that are most useful for your body, especially fats. I mean, they're relatively difficult for animals, you know, way back when, in even humans, to find. You had to go very specific locations to find fats.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gross, but, you know, you had to get them from brains of the animals you ate or inside the bones.
Mm.
I know, but the point is, so those smell good, those taste good, makes our brain happy when we eat those things. So if we smell them, our brain is automatically going to think, ooh, I could have some fry oil today, which is almost all fat. So maybe it's not that strange that your subconscious can help make the decision for you because it's like that part of your brain that you don't really use every day. It's not under your conscious control. And it's basically saying, hey, I smell something that could be good for your body. You should go eat it. The thing that I think is kind of scary is that the people at McDonald's know this.
Oh, yeah.
And they
choose. They're using it.
Right. They choose their ingredients very carefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do make tasty French fries, I have to admit. It says here that it might cause you to stop in and grab a snack. We use that word grab when we're talking about eating quickly, you know, picking up something to eat. Sometimes you don't have a lot of time to sit down and enjoy a full meal, so you're just going to grab something to eat because you're busy. So just having those smells or seeing something can trigger that feeling that you need to get that food. Well, some new studies show just how powerful our subconscious can be. We're going to talk about what these studies are like, what they did for an experiment. It's kind of fun. But why don't we go ahead and listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hi, everyone. This is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第14个单元科学的文章。我们先看标题 The subconscious. It's all in your head.The subconscious, 这个单字呢就是代表潜意识。Sub, 这个 prefix 或是字首意思是 under, 所以加上 conscious, 有意识知觉的解释起来就是在意识知觉之下或者是说潜意识。我们看文章第一段 Walking down the street, you suddenly want some McDonald's French fries. Why? Could it be the giant golden arches that you just passed? 我们知道这边提到的是麦当劳。那为什么经过的时候会想吃呢？会不会是因为 the giant golden arches? 我们知道麦当劳它招牌就是一个 M, M 是两个拱门的造型，而且颜色是黄色的，所以它才叫做 golden arches。 我们再往下看，或者是另外一个原因呢？ Or the smell of fried oil floating through the air. 这个原因呢，是说你闻到了这种油炸的味道。 Floating 这个地方是一个现在分词，它原来是可以改成一个子句的。我们如果把它改成 that floats through the air， 那就是一个形容词子句的用法，也就是漂浮在空气中的那种油炸的味道。那是这两个原因吗？ Strangely,Either of those might cause your subconscious to make the decision to stop in and grab a snack. 很奇怪的就是前者或后者这两个理由之一都有可能。Cause, 这是一个所谓的很像使役动词的一个字，它代表是让什么事情发生，但是它跟我们一般用使役动词 make 或者是 have 不太一样，因为它后面不加原动。当你说让谁做什么事，假如用 cause 是要加不定词的 cause somebody to do something， 所以这里看到让你的潜意识做这个决定， make 前面有个 to， 这是一个不定词的用法。 To stop in， stop in 这是一个片语，意思呢就是做短暂的逗留停留，在这边就是指进麦当劳的店里，然后呢买个东西吃。我们另外一个片语是 stop by， stop by 也是代表路过顺路拜访，不过 stop by 后面如果加地点是可以的，也可以不加地点，因此你如果说 stop by for chat， 这样子的用法是 OK 的，不过 stop in 它后面通常就没有受词了，就直接做动词片语，不需要加受词。好，我们再往下看最后这一句， Some new studies show just how powerful our subconscious can bebe. Okay,
we're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we'll talk more about this science unit, Study Your English, and we'll finish up this discussion about the subconscious and how it's all in your mind. Well, at least we'll finish up Study Your English day one. So let's take a short break.
Welcome back to English Digest. Listeners, this is Stephanie. I'm here with Bill. Hey, I want to know if any of you had a big desire to just study your English while we were on break. You know, Bill was trying to tell our subconscious that we needed to study our English. And I think I learned a couple of new hard vocabulary words, Mr. Bill.
All right, that's what it's all about. You know, before we continue and talk about how even a simple cup of coffee can affect your opinion about someone, I just want to share a quick story.
Okay.
I've actually learned that it's possible to do this just, you know, with your friends, to kind of control their minds.
Ooh.
It's a bit weird. See, when I was in Seattle, I used to go camping with friends. We'd bring a guitar. I'd bring my guitar. And in the evening, we'd play music around the campfire. And I would often play my guitar. And I noticed one day that when I was playing, you know, fun and fast major chords, that everyone's talking and laughing and everyone's loud. But if I switch to minor chords, and actually I could even play the minor chords quickly, maybe a few majors and then a minor, still play it with a fast rhythm, people got quiet and they kind of looked into the fire.
Now, the difference between major and minor is a musical thing. A major chord sounds happy and a minor chord sounds kind of sad. So that's really interesting. Just having that music change from happy to sad affected how they felt?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Of course, I told them what I was doing and everyone laughed. But it turns out that anything like this can have an effect on what you're doing, how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. It can even affect your opinion of someone, just like it says here, that simple cup of coffee. Your opinion of someone is what you think about them. I mean, what do you think about what kind of person they are, whether or not you're going to like them, if they're friendly or not? Well, normally when you meet someone, you make a first impression, Right. And mm-hmm. a lot of people say that's important to make a good first impression, have someone have a good opinion of you.
Mm-hmm.
But we learn here that there are so many things that can affect that. I mean, we've got this study here, and the study involves coffee.
Yeah, and it turns out that this simple cup of coffee can affect your opinion of someone. It turns out means that's the result. This is how it ends up. This ordinary or simple cup of coffee can affect your opinion of someone? How is that true? It's kind of cute. In a study, unaware that the experiment had already begun, the participants, those who were participating or who were active in the study, just came across the lab assistant in a hallway. Now, if you're a lab assistant, you're someone who helps someone else. Probably the professor or the scientist who is running the study had an assistant. And if you work in a lab, of course, you work in a laboratory where studies are done, experiments are done. Well, these participants didn't understand, were unaware that the study or experiment had already started when they ran across this lab assistant in a hallway. To say you're unaware just means you don't really realize what's going on around you or what's happening. You know, you're just moving forward, but something could be happening that you don't notice. So they really didn't understand that the experiment had already started when they came across or bumped into this lab assistant. Because to come across someone means you didn't plan on doing it. It just happened. You bumped into them. You ran into them. You weren't expecting to see them. And at this point, the experiment has already started.
Yeah, it's actually something that they often do with psychology experiments because they want to try and understand how the human brain works. That's what psychology is.
Mm.
So, of course, they're very interested in the subconscious part of your brain. They want to make sure that if you do things, if you do certain actions, that that's reflecting the things that your brain normally does, the decisions that a human being normally makes based on how their brain works, rather than the decisions you make knowing that you're in a study right now, a psychology study. So they had this, well, I can imagine it's probably a poor graduate student, who every person that arrived for the study, he had to walk out of a door with a coffee and a bunch of papers in his hand, pretending that he's just walking from one place to another. And he says, I'm carrying too many things. He's got too many documents. And he says, hey, can you hold my coffee for a moment? This lab assistant, again, probably a grad student.
Right.
He was carrying many documents and asked the participant to hold his coffee for a moment. So the person who's going to be in the study, the participant, they just think that they're heading to the room where they're going to do this psychology research project. On the way, this person walks out and says, you're here for the study? Oh, great. We're going to start in a little bit. Oh, hey, can you hold this coffee for a second?
Yeah, no big deal, huh?
Yeah, shuffles the papers around to find the paper he needs to tell you which room it's in.
Mm-hmm.
Something like this. So if you ask someone to do something for a moment, it's just a short time. Now, here's the thing, though. The lab assistant did it every time. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
The people don't know that, though. They think, that was nice. I got to help this guy, even though everyone else in the room did, too. But they didn't all do it in the same way, did they?
No, there was a difference between them. Some of the participants who helped out this lab assistant were holding a hot cup of coffee for him. Others were asked to hold iced coffee. If it's iced, it has pieces of ice in or ice cubes, frozen cubes of water. There's a big difference between holding a really hot cup of coffee and one that's really cold. Now, that was what the difference in this experiment was. Now, later, participants sat down in this room, and this is when they thought they were officially participating in the experiment. They were asked to read about a fictional person. A fictional person is someone who really isn't real. He's imaginary. You could have a fictional character or person in a book or a story or even a film. They were just reading about some fictional person. And then they were asked to rate that person's character. Now, remember, the person's not real. He's fictional. But they're asked to say, hey, what do you think about this person? If you rate something, you evaluate it, you judge it, You give it a grade, if you will. You give it some sort of mark. Is this guy a nice person? Is he friendly? Is he selfish? Things like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool. I mean, they just read a story, maybe a few pages long, talks about this person. We'll call him Tom. And in this story, you know, Tom is, he's helping someone out as they plant flowers in the garden. And Tom seems to be a really nice guy, but he doesn't seem to speak in a very nice way all the time. So the point is, you create the situation where everyone can have an opinion about someone, and then you ask, what's your opinion? What do you think of Tom? Now, then what you do is look at what people say and try and compare that to the coffee they held. See if there's a difference. That sounds strange. Why would you want to do this? Well, hot coffee, cold coffee, hot and cold. We often associate those with different kinds of personalities, right? A cold person is distant and selfish.
Unfriendly.
Yeah, unfriendly. A warm person is going to be friendly and giving and caring.
Outgoing.
Yeah, and I guess even a hot person, you could talk about someone who's passionate and full of emotion and energy. Okay, and that's just what happened. Compared with the hot coffee group, those who held the iced coffee rated the character as being colder and more selfish.
Now, if you're colder, you really don't have a lot of feelings. You usually don't like to hang out with other people. Maybe you prefer being alone. You're not really warm and friendly and kind. And if you're selfish, that's really not good. You don't like to share what you have with others. You're always thinking of yourself. You don't really care about others and their feelings. So it's interesting that those who had held the iced coffee for that lab assistant in the hallway all kind of rated this fictional person as being colder and more selfish. And those who had been asked to hold the hot cup of coffee thought that the fictional person was, you know, kind of nice, warm, friendly.
Right. So their reactions seemed to have been affected by the temperature of the coffee. That seems like such a strange thing.
It's weird.
Why would the temperature affect that person? But, you know, this happens everywhere, all the time. If you meet someone in a nice, comfortable, warm room, you'll form a much better opinion of them than if you meet them in a cold room. I mean, they've even done studies with things like this, with temperature. It's not about meeting someone, but this whole thing about like a party in a restaurant or even movie theaters. What they used to do in movie theaters is they would turn on the air conditioning right when the movie was over because the room would get cold and people would leave.
Oh, I would stay because I love air conditioning.
Of course, but they do the same thing at these restaurants, too. The room is cold enough for you to stand being there for just a certain amount of time. They want you out of there so they can get more people into the seats, right?
That's very interesting.
It is, but apparently it even can affect the way you see someone's personality. Pretty interesting stuff. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk more about what this means, not just the experiment, but kind of how we can then analyze this information, come up with what it may mean for psychology. Right now, let's wrap up today's show, beginning with some Chinese explanation.
我们接下来就要看这些新的研究是什么。第二段, it turns out that even a simple cup of coffee can affect your opinion of someone. Turns out 通常代表一个结果, 而这个结果往往是你没有想到的。什么结果呢? 即使是一杯咖啡, 都可能会影响你对某人的意见。再往下看下一句, in a study, unaware that the experiment had already begun, participants came across a lab assistant in a hallway. 我们要讲的是这个研究到底是怎么一回事? 这句话里头的主词是 participants, 除了这些呢,参加研究的人 came across, 碰到了,遇到了,巧遇到 lab assistant, 就是所谓实验室的助理, 在哪里碰到呢? 在 hallway, 也就是走廊上碰到, 不过这一句话中间, 在 in a study 后面, 有一个 unaware that, unaware 是一个形容词, 所以呢,这里只是一个形容词的片语,插在中间表示这些参与的人他并没有注意到,注意到后面这件事就是实验已经开始进行了。我们接下来看下一句, the lab assistant was carrying many documents and asked the participant to hold his coffee for a moment. 这个实验助理呢，他手上拿着一些文件，要这些参与的人帮他拿咖啡。Some participants held hot coffee, while others held iced coffee. Iced coffee, 这个字 iced 要加 d 当作形容词，当然表示冰的咖啡。最后这一段 ,Later, participants read about a fictional person and were asked to rate that person's character. 参与者接下来他就读到了一个虚构的人物。Fictional 是一个形容词。原来有一个名词是 fiction, 代表小说或虚构的故事，加上 al, 就是虚构的、虚拟的。And were asked to rate, 后面这个动词 rate, 它当动词来解释、本来是说分级或是判定级数的高低，这里呢就是指评断，他们呢要评断这个人的品格个性到底是如何。Compare with the hot coffee group, those who held iced coffee rated the characters being colder and more selfish. Compare with, 这是一个很常用的片语，代表跟什么做比较。我们用的要记住是用过去分词开头，表示一件事情被拿来跟另外一件事情做比较。那发现说这些拿冰咖啡的人呢，他会把在评断这个人的个性的时候会评成 rated us, us 后面接 being colder and more selfish, us 是一个介系词，所以后面接的当然是动名词或者是名词。再往下看 ,their reactions seem to have been affected by the temperature of the coffee. Seem to, 后面当你加完成式的时候，指的就是刚刚之前做过的一个状况。所以我们看到的 have been affected 是完成式的形态。
Okay, so there's day one of our science unit. It's all about the subconscious.Very fascinating stuff, isn't it, Stephanie?
Yeah, you're not going to try to trick me into anything here, are you?
No. Of course not.
I'm waiting
for... Don't forget to come tomorrow to English Digest. I wouldn't do that.
I won't forget tomorrow.
Okay, I was talking to our students. So everyone, like I said, don't forget to join us tomorrow as we continue this science unit called The Subconscious. It's all in your head.And study your English. We'll see you then. Until tomorrow, I'm Bill.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.